From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast on Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of his series of studies in the Law of God, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with each of the Ten Commandments in separate messages. The Sixth Commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." As we've already seen, this refers to the unlawful taking of human life, or in other words, murder. As Dr. Cairns emphasizes the scriptural prohibition against disregard for human life, he shows how the Bible includes under the crime of murder such things as homicide, abortion, suicide, or mercy killings. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to listen to this brief selection from C.H. Spurgeon's devotional collection entitled Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Obedience Brings Blessing. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Though salvation is not by the works of the law, yet the blessings which are promised to obedience are not denied to the faithful servants of God. The curses our Lord took away when he was made a curse for us, but no clause of blessing has been abrogated. We are to note and listen to the revealed will of the Lord, giving our attention not to portions of it, but to all these words. There must be no picking and choosing, but an impartial respect to all that God has commanded. This is the road of blessedness for the Father and for His children. The Lord's blessing is upon His chosen to the third and fourth generation. If they walk uprightly before Him, He will make all men know that they are a seed which the Lord has blessed. No blessing can come to us or ours through dishonesty or double dealing. The ways of worldly conformity and unholiness cannot bring good to us or ours. It will go well with us when we go well before God. If integrity does not make us prosper, knavery will not. That which gives pleasure to God will bring pleasure to us.
Striving to
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
No doubt from the Word of God that a fetus is a child. In the Old Testament scriptures, in the Hebrew language, there is no word for a fetus. It is a child. That's what the scripture calls it, even in the womb. And in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1, when John the Baptist was yet, according to these people, just a fetus, the Bible said, he was a baby. He was a babe. The arguments that are advanced in favor of feticide or abortion are absolutely empty. I get sick of listening to these. Day by day, the woman's right to do as she likes with her body. Well, let's concede her the right, although it's a very dubious concession. But for argument's sake, let's concede her right to do as she likes with her body. What we're saying is she should exercise that right before she conceives. We hear of the woman's right to choose. What we are suffering from here in America, at least in part, is a very skillful ad campaign where pro-murder is now benignly called pro-choice. We're not against a woman choosing. What we're saying is, if she doesn't choose to have children, she should choose not to conceive them. We're told you can't force women to bear children. I don't think anybody's forcing them to bear children. The fact is, when they come to have an abortion, they have already conceived children. And we do have the right to say that they must not murder those children. And I don't hesitate to use the word murder there, for that's what feticide is. Just as homicide is the unlawful killing of a homo or a man, feticide is the unlawful killing of an unborn child. There's a very controverted passage in Exodus chapter 21 which will prove undoubtedly that God looks on the killing of the unborn child causing its death as murder, for which he exacted the penalty even all the way to death. In verse 22 we read, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, and stripe for stripe. We are told by the pro-abortionists in the so-called Christian church, let me tell you, Christians, by definition, cannot be pro-abortion. But these so-called Christian pro-abortionists say, this is the life of the mother, if there's any mischief in the life of the mother. But they have missed the point. Notice this, if her fruit depart from her. In modern translations, that is saying if she suffers a miscarriage. But that's not the meaning. That's the very opposite of the meaning. It's not a miscarriage. It is a premature birth that's in mind here. And the going out is the very same description as, for example, the birth of Jacob and Esau. And if prematurely they cause her children to come forth, and yet if they're healthy, then there's no death penalty. But if they are maimed or killed, then the penalty will be according to the mischief. If they are maimed, then the person who caused it will suffer maiming. If by premature birth they are killed, then he will forfeit his life for killing them. I want you to understand, that's God's law. So abortion is undoubtedly murder. There's homicide, there's feticide, and of course there's suicide, which is self-murder. We've got to be very careful here, and we've got to speak with strength and yet with compassion. There are many people who commit suicide, and they do so when their mind is completely unbalanced for one reason or another, or through such deep depression that they act totally irrationally and they're incapable of logical thought. With other people, it is a reaction of hopelessness. And of course, that's a rash conclusion. You remember the Philippian jailer? He was about to kill himself because he could see no hope. But in Acts 16:28, Paul intervened and he says, do thyself no harm. We're all here. And if the would-be suicide could only be made to see it, there is hope and there is help. But they must seek it in obedience to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Suicide is self-murder. Now all these three are still murder, even when they're graced with the title of mercy killings. Mercy killing homicide is called euthanasia. Dying well. Dying with dignity. But euthanasia is murder no matter what the courts of the United States say. No matter what their final decision on Dr. Kevorkian is, euthanasia is murder covered by God in the sixth commandment. Mercy killing abortion may come under the heading of eugenics. Some very interesting statements by eugenicists over the years about the government's right and indeed the government's duty to use abortion only to allow the multiplication of the selected seed. Eugenics put to that end is not mercy killing, it is murder. It can be cloaked as mercy. This child will have a deformity. This child will have some great handicap or other. Coming from my family, we understand that. If my sister had lived in England before her little boy who bears my name was born, she would undoubtedly have been pressed to have had an abortion. Though in our country, at least at that time, it wasn't even an option. Her little boy was born so heavily mentally handicapped because she suffered German measles. The only part of him formed enough to be attacked apparently was a part of his brain. And he was certainly heavily handicapped. We go today and see him in his wheelchair, simply kill him because he's handicapped? By what stretch of logic then would it be right to kill him in his mother's womb because he's handicapped? It can be made to sound merciful, but God does not give us that right. He says, thou shalt not kill. You've probably heard the story, I know, for some it will be hackneyed by now. It's told by David Field in a book put out by InterVarsity called God's Good Life. The story is of a lecturer at a seminar on abortion, confronted by a group of medical students whom he was lecturing. And he put this case study to them. He said, the father has syphilis. The mother suffers from tuberculosis. They have four children. The first one is blind. The second has already died. The third is deaf and dumb. And the fourth suffers also, like its mother, from tuberculosis. Now she is expecting her fifth child. She's willing to have an abortion if you, as her doctor, will advise it. What do you advise? And the great majority of those young doctors or medical students voted for abortion. When the vote was in, the lecturer responded, congratulations, you have just murdered Beethoven. And I have to wonder how many Beethovens have been murdered in so-called mercy. But the fact that we may lose a Beethoven is not good enough reason to condemn abortion. We condemn it because God has said, thou shalt not kill. Of course, there are other forms of murder. The scripture speaks of them, plotting like Saul did against David when he said, let the hand of the Philistines be upon him, not my hand. That is murder. Being an accessory like Saul of Tarsus when he sat by and held the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. That is murder. Putting someone in harm's way to protect us and our own guilty secrets, as David did to Uriah. That is murder. And against all those things, God says, thou shalt not kill. But you know, those are very obvious. There are three other very common ways that may be less obvious. We may not bring them under the sixth commandment quite so easily in our own thinking, but they're there. Hatred, for example. Jesus said what we read in Matthew chapter 5. You can kill with words as well as with swords. Jesus said that if you are angry with your brother without a cause, you are in danger of the judgment. If you say raka is a word that treats him intellectually as a fool. Or if you say, thou fool, that is just treat him as a godless, meaningless reprobate. You do this not because he deserves it, but out of spiteful anger. When your temper gets ahead of you, when you're not in control of yourself, and just in the bitterness and the anger of a heart that is uncontrollable, you say such things. You're guilty and in danger of hell. John put it this way in 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now that's clear. That's the morality of Scripture. That's the spiritual standard of the law of God. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, Jesus says. Whosoever hateth his brother, John says. This is murder. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding within him. There are people who masquerade as Christians, and they hate and are hateful. There are people who masquerade as Christians and they live their lives with their cup brimming over with bitterness. They spread it wherever they go like a plague of death. Jesus says, this is murder.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.